often do you check your bank account, like the balance?
Well, it depends on what I have going on. Depends on how much money I have in there. If I would guess, probably roughly a few times a week, if that.
Okay. 36% of Americans say they review their checking account daily. Okay.
Okay.
On average, the normal person checks it about 4 times per week.
Yeah, I would say that's probably about me, but some weeks I take off. Some weeks I'm just too busy, just don't get around to it. Some weeks there's nothing in there and I know it.
Okay, I don't ever check my bank account.
I know.
And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Well, I have like an alert. My alert is my husband.
Yep.
And he will call me, text me, or say, "What are you doing?"
Right.
And then I'll know that there's a problem, something that's happening in my bank account. But
otherwise, you know when you're in danger.
Well, I guess. I don't know. Like he just says, like, "What'd you just spend $227 for?" And that's how I found out that he put alerts on my debit card that every time I spend money over $100 that it notifies him. So I don't know if I should be offended by that. But then again, I'm like, well, like, I don't check my bank account. So I guess like somebody should be responsible of the two of us.
Well, you know, I would say another variant, too, is that some people keep a bigger cushion than other people do. Right. So if there's a good amount of money in the bank account and it's not going to be crucial as to whether or not you're making a purchase for 50 or 100 bucks that day or whatever, then you probably got a little bit more freedom. You can worry a little bit less about it. But if you're running down your bank account to 20, 40, 30 bucks, 10 bucks or whatever with regularity, then you're going to want to stay on top of it. You know, I'm the type where when I pay the bills, like I'll get the paycheck and I'll get, you know, whatever other money that I have in there or whatever. When I pay the bills, I'll pay the bills and I'll leave myself like 100 bucks. For like a week or two. And a lot of people can't exist like that, you know?
Wait, what do you mean? Like,
yeah,
that's it?
Yeah, so I'll pay down. Like, I would rather send my credit card company $3,000 and have no money in my bank account than to send them like $2,800 and have $200 or $300 in there. I'm a crazy person like that. It's just the way that I am.
But what if there's like an emergency, or what if you're just really hungry and you want steak for dinner?
Well, then I just pull the credit card back out.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, always perpetuating that. And, you know, with rewards cards and stuff like that, like I'm okay living that way most of the time.
Yeah. I wonder if I should check my bank account more. I'm going to check it right now and see what I got. Oh, that doesn't look good.
Maybe you should set some different alerts.
Maybe. You thought you had it bad? Well, sometimes hearing about others' misfortunes can make you feel better about your own.
I love those video shows where you see people falling down all the time.
Yeah.
Or it's like world's dumbest this, and they give you the top 10 of those. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the time I get to one, it's elation.
These are all tweets from the last 24 hours. Ready, Raven?
Yeah, give them to me.
At your crazy ex, ooh, number one. Walked outside to throw out my trash. Said hi to my neighbor and his 5 kids. Go back inside my house to realize I'm not wearing pants.
What? No.
Woman face palming emoji. Hashtag, now I need to move. You know who does this? Hayden, my daughter, does this.
Walks outside with no pants
my
on?
My 12-year-old. Like, she, you know, they wear, like, those big baggy sweatshirts.
Sure.
But sometimes, like, she'll go outside to pick up an Amazon package, or she'll go outside to throw things in the recycling bin.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, Hayden, you're not wearing any pants. You have to wear pants when you leave the house.
The thing is, with 5 kids, that will be remembered for generations.
Oh, the creepy neighbor.
I mean, you're right. You got to move at that point.
At baby face Lau.
Mm-hmm.
She tweets, spend so long online shopping that when I placed the order, I forgot to enter the discount code.
Oh no. That is the worst.
Oh.
And then you regret it. And then calling the 800 number. Forget it. You're getting nowhere on
that. Forget it.
You're getting nowhere.
So you had one shot to enter that coupon code. And you've tried the 700.
Right.
And like 29.
You went through 17 websites to make sure there wasn't a better code out there first, tried all of those, and then forgot the real one.
Yep.
Oh,
absolutely.
Terrible.
Happens every time.
Terrible.
At SLanson11. They tweet, never ever will I watch my roommate's dogs again while she goes on vacation. How's your morning going? Oh, I cleaned up 5 piles of dog waste and drove around for 40 minutes looking for a dog before work this morning.
I mean, maybe take that dog out when they have a scheduled time.
Asked my babysitter to watch my dog this weekend because we went away for one of the nights.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lila is difficult. Like, she's a fearful dog.
She's got some
dog.
Tricks.
Yeah.
Yep.
I overpaid her because I was like, nobody else will watch my dog.
You wanted to compensate, right? Yeah. No, I get that.
Confessions of a young adult drama queen at Confessions DQ tweets, it's 8:15 in the morning and drinking has already started. Hashtag family wedding. Family weddings, they're either the best or you're like dreading them because you know it's going to go south.
Well, when you're having mimosas at 8 a.m. getting ready, by the time you get to 4 in the afternoon, I mean, you do the math on that one.
Mm-hmm. At Canadian Kelly, she had a two-part tweet.
Okay.
I went on a date with a guy who lives 750 miles away and booked a hotel room for myself. After the first date, he went to his house to change so we could keep talking more casually. He packed a bag and moved into my hotel without asking. But the second part of the tweet, that's when things take a dark turn, Raven. Also, he ate french fries and pizza in my bed and wiped the grease from his fingers by using the sheets.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is terrible.
If there's ever a reason that you should never date a guy again, it's that.
You want to run out of the room, but you know that your credit card's down for deposit. Yeah. Who knows the damage that guy could do?
Sitting in pizza grease. And one last one, Raven, to make you feel better about yourself.
Okay.
At Rebecca Ortiz Chicago, she tweets, I could really use a stiff drink to sit in front of a fireplace and a puppy to snuggle with, but I have no dog, no fireplace, and can't drink. Okay.
I mean, that's it?
That's it. That's really it.
Well, it could always be worse, right?
I guess, right?
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, I've been waiting to tell you this story.
What's up?
If you give a brown bear the middle finger, that's all I need to know about you.
Is that the way of getting the bear to run away? Because you're supposed to go, hey, bear, be big, right when the bear comes around.
It was the craziest thing. I went through one of those drive-through safaris at the theme parks.
I mean,
right?
That's a calm bear on top of it. That bear is relaxed. He gets peanuts.
Right. So, no, you know, it says everywhere, don't roll down the windows.
Sure.
You have to keep the windows rolled up. And we're driving through and we get to the brown bears. And in front of us, it's one of the safari vehicles. So this is a vehicle that works there.
Right,
with somebody there.
People that are trained.
Yeah. And the person in the truck, mm-hmm. right, that's, it looks like a zebra truck, by the way, has the window rolled down, both fingers out, giving middle fingers to the brown bears. So my husband goes, what is that lady doing?
Right, what's happening here?
I go, wait a minute. And I'm looking
around.
Wait
a minute, it's a lady? It's not a minimum wage 17-year-old that's working there that day?
No! You think they're going to put a 17-year-old working with the bears?
I don't know, man. I've seen some crazy documentaries out the last couple of years. People lose arms. It's crazy.
So I'm like, why is she giving the... And I'm looking around, but there's got to be somebody else that she's giving the finger to, right?
Right.
No.
You!
No.
Maybe.
No. Just giving the middle finger to the brown bears.
I don't understand.
Aggressively. Like this, Raven. Aggressively giving the middle finger to the brown bears. And I'm like, what are those brown bears doing to her? That she's so aggressively giving them the finger.
Or maybe they ate her small child or something. I don't know.
I would think we would hear about that on the news if something like that should happen. If you could only give one animal the middle finger, who would it be?
Gosh. Well, you know, I'd always be afraid that animals, they're unpredictable, right? So they could turn on you quickly and catch you. So I'm going to rule out crocodiles, sharks, anything with teeth that has like an elongated snout.
Yeah.
Then come at you. Dogs, dingoes, coyotes, all that. I'm going to get away from all of that.
Okay.
I'll skip bears, as I might have mentioned here. How about something that's a little bit slower, like a sloth?
Yeah,
like maybe a porcupine. They don't
run
very fast.
What do the porcupine do to you? Nothing.
No, neither of them are going to do anything. I don't think like a sloth is an aggressive. It's not going to be mean to me or anything like that.
I would think if an animal is going to give me the finger, it would be a sloth.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't you think? Well, right. I mean, they're kind of built for it, right?
That's all I need to know about you.
If you have an outdoor cat, speaking of the animal kingdom, and every time it misses like a single meal at your house, and you've got to put up a post about how the cat is missing and the cat is lost, and this type, you know, and then, oh, it's 4 hours later, guess what? Mr. Whiskers is still alive. He's fine. He came back here. That's all I need to know about you. You have an outdoor cat. Number one, don't act like you love that cat all that much because you let him leave and go to and fro as he feels like every single day. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like, you know, we're buds. I love you, but...
Not enough to let you live in this house.
Yeah, you can't be shocked when they miss a meal. Plus, it's a cat.
Cat doesn't care. If the cat's not at your house, the cat is out eating somewhere, and it's probably something that he hunted.
Check in the text line. Noelle texted, if you're one of those people in the self-checkout line at the grocery store who starts sending their items down the conveyor belt before the person in front of them has finished bagging their items, that's all I need to know about you.
But bag with some urgency. I'll just say that. Sometimes people camp out there. Do not camp out.
Yeah, but you got to give a break.
The first time you've ever been to a grocery store.
Because now I don't know. Are those my bananas? Are those your bananas? Wait a minute.
Did you
buy Nutri-Grain bars? Like, give me a second here. I'm bagging the items. It's very pressure when you do that.
It'd be better.
1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text too. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. I had a walk of shame yesterday.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
So embarrassing.
It really is. And it had nothing to do with drinking and bad decisions or anything like that.
You didn't do anything shameful?
Because no.
Sometimes those are, those happen too.
I mean, some people would say this was shameful. But I had a coupon to Ben & Jerry's, and it was a manufacturer coupon. It was sent to me a long time ago.
Okay.
And I forgot it was in my wallet. So I was at the grocery store, and I'm buying the tubs of the Ben & Jerry's, and I pull out the coupons, and I'm waiting. And, like, it's I'm doing the self-scan. And it's not reading it.
Oh, boy. Now you got to wait. The light's got to come on. Somebody's got to come over. Now there's like 15 self-service registers in that area, too. They could be busy for a while.
The line was so long behind me that it went halfway down the aisle right behind me.
Sad.
And I'm like, wait a minute. But I'm not giving up because it's a good coupon. It's like $6. It was no joke.
Right.
So I call the person. And the person comes, and then it's a matter of, like, they can't do it. They have to get the manager involved.
Oh, my gosh. The first key card couldn't get it done?
Nope.
That is sad.
I know.
That's too bad.
When they have to call for backup at the grocery store for your coupon,
right.
You know it's bad. But you see all the eyes of the people behind you just glaring at you when you're trying to use the coupon, and now they have to call somebody else to come. And it literally took, I'm not exaggerating, 12 minutes.
Wow.
And all the people were so mad.
You were the worst thing. Plus, now, on top of it, you're monopolizing that supervisor's time. So now if there's any other problem, now you got one down. Oh, now there's two down. Oh, now there's three down. Now they really hate you.
So now I just finally finish, and I start walking, and I feel the eyes of the line just daggers
following
in
you
my
out
back.
The door, right?
Oh, it's such a walk of shame. You know, because you don't think about walk of shames being things like that, but it happens all the time when people are just judging you while you walk and you have to hang your head low.
You know, I would have told you that maybe the supervisor should feel bad too. When you've got to call the backup manager, that's a big thing.
It's
there.
It's a big deal.
I remember that my first radio job, my GM had his office was directly off the lobby. I mean, directly there. Like, here's the lobby, there's the door, and inside is his office. And he, whenever you would get in trouble, obviously, you had to go in and see the GM. He was not a quiet man.
Yeah.
He was a gunnery sergeant with the Marine Corps. So when you left that office and you had been yelled at, everybody in the building knew. The secretary, the business manager next door, the GSM across the way for sales. And of course, if anybody was picking up a t-shirt or concert tickets, I was there. I heard Raven. He got crushed today, man.
That's a walk of shame.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What was your walk of shame?
When you trip in public and you fall and then you have to get up and just keep going as if nothing happened. And then you know what's worse? When people run over to ask if you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Act like I'm not here.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you didn't just see it happen.
Act like this didn't happen to me. Unless it's icy. Because if it's icy, I might be dead.
It's
all
true.
Right? Make sure I'm not dead and then act like it didn't happen and walk away.
Just turn your head. Just pretend like you didn't see it. We both know you saw it, but just pretend like you didn't, please. For like, just so I don't feel humiliated.
Right. If I'm not screaming out loud, it means I don't want a stretcher. All right? It doesn't mean that I don't necessarily don't need one, but it means I don't want one.
Oh, hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the worst walk of shame?
Probably after you use the bathroom on a plane, like especially if you were in there like a really, really long time and everyone just like is looking at you as you come out.
Yeah.
The bathroom walk of shame is a real one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On an airplane. Yep. That's a real one.
And I never understood why people lined up outside the door of the airplane.
It's terrible. You're just making us all more anxious. But the pressure, man, you got to go.
Yeah, it's true.
The pressure means that you're really anxious to go.
Not all walk of shames involve bad decisions that you made the night before. 1-800-330-9999. What was your walk of shame? I was at a grocery store and I held up the line for 12 minutes. The line was literally down the aisle because I was trying to use a manufacturer coupon and they had to bring three people in. And I could feel every person's eyes on me as I finally walked away because I had held up that line for so long. What was your walk of shame? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I think it's when you belly flop off the diving board at the pool, and then there's that awkward moment when you surface, and then you have to swim to the side to climb out. It's like the swim walk of shame.
You have to act like it didn't hurt. I mean, if you actually belly flop, right? You have to act like it didn't hurt because everybody's like, ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Right. And if, God forbid, if there's a retired guy there, he wants to tell you all about the worst belly flops of all time. How your skin's going to fall off. Oh, I've been to that pool.
It's worse when you see the lifeguard like standing like they're going to jump in. You're like, no, I'm good. Please don't come get me.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
You do? Well, no, but still.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the worst walk of shame?
I'd have to say when you're bowling and you throw a gutter ball, you turn around and you have to face all your friends that are laughing and mocking at you. I can't handle it.
Yeah, it is bad, actually. God forbid it's somebody's birthday party or whatever. You got like three linked lanes. There's like 12 people there.
And they all
because you get every character, right? You get the friend that's in your face. You get the other character that gives you the saddest look. It's like, oh, what happened? You get the other one who just silently says nothing and says, no, no, no. You're going to do better. You try. I mean, you get all of it. The pity, everything.
Yeah.
Makes me never want to bowl again.
Till you get the strike next throw.
Next time.
Then you're on top of the world.
That's right. Then I'm in their face. What, you like that? Yeah, I told you I was going to bring it.
Anna and Raven, what's the worst walk of shame?
I actually auditioned for American Idol like many years ago, and I didn't get one vote to move to Hollywood. So leaving that room and everyone watching you is just like a total walk of shame. There's people that scream in happiness when they make it through, and then there's the rest of us just doing the American Idol walk of shame.
Yeah.
Not getting one out of three, though. It's not like you're the worst. And there's a lot of people that got to go through there. I mean, there's only three judges.
Yeah, but still, when you open the door and everybody's looking at you, you watch that on TV. You're waiting for their reaction.
I would just lie.
And then they burst into tears. That is a terrible walk of shame. I can't believe they make you do that. They should let you exit a different door.
That's true.
Agreed.
The side door would be more agreeable.
Right.
You're right. That would be good. It's true. That would be more gentle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd come out and be like, I just missed it. Even though not getting a single vote, I would have been like, oh, maybe next time.
Mm.
You're right. Going out the side door would be so much easier.
What do you do with your bananas, Raven?
I eat them.
Well, besides
typically.
That.
I don't know. I mean, they sit on the counter, and when it's time to take one, I rip one off and I bring it to work.
All my bananas keep like rotting really quickly, and my 2-year-old eats bananas every single day. It's one of the two things I can literally get her to eat.
Sure.
And I'm like, why are they getting so dark so fast?
You don't like them brown?
No, I don't.
I like them brown.
Yeah. So our boss said that to make his bananas last longer, and he sent us a video demonstrating, he separates them all and then he puts them in a bowl. And he claims that the bowl with the separation of the bananas makes them last longer.
Yeah, I have to tell you that was surprising. It's also not all that alarming how excited he gets about these hacks that he has in his life, because he's kind of that guy.
Yeah. They say that the way to make bananas last longer is you wrap the stems in plastic wrap or in foil, and that works.
I've seen that. My wife has tried that once or twice. Sure.
I don't know if that... I've never tried it, so I don't know if it works. But the number one thing I was always told not to do, this expert is saying that we should do it.
Bananas do not go bad faster in the refrigerator. In fact, such banana-selling companies as Chiquita and Dole recommend you store your bananas in the refrigerator to make the banana last longer in its perfect ripeness stage.
I don't feel good about a cold banana.
Well, they're saying that you
cold
could,
banana.
Well, here's the problem, is when you put the banana in the refrigerator, it gets all dark. So he has a hack for that, too.
The peel will quickly begin to look as if the banana has rotted.
Mm-hmm.
But other than the somewhat unappetizing blackened peel that results from this, it won't negatively affect the banana in the short term.
So you could take the banana out even though it's completely like all dark, and then you put it on the counter and it'll cool. It'll like come to room temperature, your banana.
I'm trying to focus on this guy's accent here about bananas that come to term. All right, go ahead.
He just keeps saying bananas.
Bananas.
If you find the look of the refrigerated bananas too unappealing, there are other ways to keep your bananas fresh for longer. For instance, you can slow the ripening process of a banana by keeping the banana away from other fruits, including the bananas on the same hands
that
it came from.
You have to segregate the bananas from each other.
Why?
Don't go next to anything else.
Why?
Wait, but not only...
Why does the banana feel better about when it's going to ripen up or be overripe because it's now separate?
Isn't it weird?
Does bananas have a brain? Like, what's happening here?
Do they have feelings? Can you imagine that you have to keep your bananas not only separate from each other?
Yeah. What?
Like, you gotta keep one banana in your bedroom, one banana in your family room, one banana has to chill in your bathroom, I guess. It's so weird,
that
right?
That is weird.
Yeah, no, it gets stranger.
Another banana ripening tip is rather than buying bananas all from the same hand, pick bananas from different hands of varying ripeness, some that are ready to eat now, down to ones that won't be ready for at least a few days or more.
I can't stand the people at the grocery store.
I know
store
you do.
That
you hate that
all
so much.
That's a family of bananas.
My wife does it. She takes it. She'll take whatever banana she wants. Grapes? Forget it. She'll take it from wherever she wants, and I watch in horror as she does it.
When somebody breaks that nice six bunch of bananas into like three and three, and
it's
then
like
they
their
leave
mom's
through,
been ripped away.
I'm like, what are you doing? That banana needed its family. Now you're going to separate that banana. You're going to put one in your living room,
that's
one
right
in your family room. Like, what? Since when did having a banana become so complicated?
It's a terrible adoption process going on here.
Gosh.
It's like a litter of puppies in Arkansas. It's
terrible.
Oh, man.
And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Gladness Tournament.
Last night, Baylor pulled an upset and beat Gonzaga to make them the NCAA Men's March Madness champions. But here, it is not about college basketball. It's about March Gladness, crowning the number one thing that makes you happy. Yesterday, your child finally sleeping through the night secured its spot in tomorrow's finals. But who is going to go up against it?
Huge competitors here today, and as we get ready to figure out what will this final game really look like. So here we are in this conference championship, hitting all green lights. Is there a better sensation when you're in your vehicle? Windows are down, sun is shining. Oh, I'm not going to be late. I'm 5 minutes early for this appointment because I hit every green light there was.
It's literally a sea of green. You just get in there and you go and all you see is green and you just step on that gas and you cruise. And you wave to all the people on the other side of the street with the red lights. Sorry. Not me today, buddy. It's you. Me, I just keep going.
I mean, it really can improve your entire mood. Going into work, you might think it's going to be a bad day. Monday, no problem. I'm not going to be in the drearies here. I hit all the green lights.
Right, but we've got a big competitor up against green lights today. And I don't know if this one can be beat. Losing weight without trying. I got on the scale today, Raven. I gained 7.4 pounds in the last 3.5 months.
Come on.
7.4 pounds.
I now, thought you were going to tell me it went the other way.
No.
You really caught me off guard there.
Yeah, no, because it was terrible. There is no worse feeling than getting on that scale and it's up, right? But there is no better feeling than when you get on the scale and it goes down and you didn't even try.
Right,
it's
I didn't
like
eat
magic.
Salad.
What?
I haven't been working out.
What?
What? Water retention? Who cares here?
I haven't had water in 6 days. What do you mean? I lost 3 pounds?
It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. It is the complete opposite feeling of how I felt this morning.
But is it enough to beat hitting all green lights?
That's when it comes to you. Your votes. Last night, Baylor. Well, they made Gonzaga no longer undefeated. Let's just put it that way. And they won the NCAA Men's March Madness Championship. But here, it's not about college basketball. It's about what makes you the happiest. March Gladness.
And we've had some great competitors so far. And the one half of the finals is set now. But we've got to figure out who will be the final competitor. Is it hitting all green lights? Or is it going to be unexpected weight loss?
Yeah, it's a really tough decision today because both of those make you very, very happy. But already in the finals for tomorrow, your child finally sleeping through the night, which is the greatest relief that a parent can have. So now what could possibly go up against it? Well, it all comes down to your votes. Hitting all green lights versus stepping on a scale and losing weight without trying. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you voting for?
Unexpected weight loss.
It is a crowd favorite.
And I nothing do, better than that.
It's not better
I do understand
the world.
It. Do you think that there's an amount on the weight, Anna, where it really makes a difference? Like if it's a pound or two, you don't get too excited, right? I mean, it's got to be over 3 or 4 pounds.
No. I will get excited for a pound.
For a pound?
Same
yeah.
here.
Yeah. If I saw a drop of like 7 pounds, then I'm thrilled. Anything less than that, I figure it's just what I ate yesterday.
That's the difference between men and women. For a man, you're like 7 pounds. Great. For 7 pounds for me is a year and a half of dieting.
If I lost 7 one day and 3 the next day, I'd probably make a doctor's appointment thinking I was ill.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's making it to the championships? Losing weight without trying or hitting all those green lights?
Losing weight without trying. Thanks to treats this weekend, I gained almost 2.5 pounds.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to tell you, losing weight without trying trumps everything, green lights, and my children sleeping.
Well, you're going to have to vote tomorrow for that because I've already started thinking about it. Thank you for the vote. Because just like that, with 70% of the vote this morning, stepping on a scale and losing weight without trying makes it to the finals. But I can't decide who wins between that and your child finally sleeping through the night. Remember, my toddler, Dakota, she actively tried to destroy me in 2019 by not letting me sleep. It was like I didn't even exist that year.
It was a rough year on your body, I can tell you, by looking at your face every day.
Thank you.
It's not the years, it's the mileage.
Right.
Yeah, you did a lot of miles that year.
So many bags. But what's going to be March Gladness champion? You'll decide tomorrow, same time. Stepping on a scale and losing weight without trying, or having your child finally sleep through the night.
The finals is set.
Why do kids eat such nasty, gross things? Right? Like, I don't
sometimes
understand.
Sometimes it's ease of access. Sometimes it's just the flavor.
I don't know. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. What's that nasty thing your kid eats? My daughter, Dakota, my toddler, she lives on hot dogs and the Little Bites chocolate chip muffins.
Sure.
Now, if you're not familiar with the Little Bites muffins, they come in, you've probably seen them at the grocery store. They come in like that white box, and there's different kinds. There's a birthday cake version, and then there's the brownie ones. But she will only eat the chocolate chip ones, and they're not like delicious muffins. They're like slimy little sponges.
Right. It's like not like a high quality fresh baked muffin or something like that.
No.
It's pasteurized and preservatives and all that and packaged and sent to you.
She eats 2 packets a day.
Wow.
Of the Little Bites muffins.
Seems excessive. I mean, I haven't seen the nutrition chart in the back, but seems like a lot.
Between that and the hot dog, sometimes I can get her to eat a couple bites of a banana if I'm really lucky. Now, I know it sounds like terrible parenting.
Right.
I'm fully aware of that. But, like, the kid won't eat. And she does that thing where she just opens her mouth and the food just falls out if I try to give her something else. And, you know, you panic because you just want them to eat something, you know?
Yeah, I blame the packaged food craze basically on microwaves. Because I remember as being a kid, my parents would be like, you're eating this. And I would eat all sorts of nonsense different dinner that came out. But when chicken nuggets got packaged and freezed and ready to go in a microwave,
yep,
that kind of changed the whole game.
Yeah.
Wait, we can have crinkle fries right here at home? That's it.
My pediatrician's like, don't worry, she'll grow out of it. I go, but explain to me how we go outside and she will find every rock and put it in her mouth. Without fail, she will try to eat the rock. But the minute I try to give her a piece of broccoli, even a chicken nugget,
she refuses.
Right.
Wow.
1-800-330-9999. What's the gross thing that your kid eats?
The gross thing my twins eat, they're 16, is fiery hot Cheetos. It doesn't even look like a food substance.
Yeah. They're making everything with some sort of flaming hot or jalapeno hot or Cajun hot.
Yeah.
Like, I go down a chip aisle, and I can't eat any of them, to be truthful, but I think that I could eat, like, the sweet ones, you know?
Yeah.
So, but there's, like, 7 levels, and they all sound like the fiery depths of hell at this point.
I like them. I think they're delicious.
So does my wife. She loves them, but they all terrify me.
I mean, I love spicy, but these don't even look like you should be eating them. They're, like, a weird color.
But I like to lick it off my fingers. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that gross thing your kid eats?
My son, who is now 33 since he's been a kid, has been eating apple cores. He'll eat the whole apple except for the stem. He'll throw the stem away, but he eats the core, the seed, everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. My mom used to just terrify me with visions of, you know, watermelons and trees growing in my body when I was young. So I never did it. I never did it, but
he has a whole orchard in his stomach right now.
Right. I bet you he's healthier than all of us, actually. Yeah. Probably some guru will say that that's the way you're supposed to be eating them.
Amanda wrote on our text line, my kid eats ketchup. Just ketchup on a spoon.
Get some right now because I hear there's a shortage coming.
Ugh. It's a nasty thing that your child eats. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. My 2-year-old Dakota is obsessed with the Little Bites chocolate chip muffins. They're basically like eating little sponges, and she shoves the entire thing in her mouth at once. So then I'm already worried that she's going to choke on it.
Right.
Because
it's
so
like
big.
A spackle.
Oh, it's so nasty. On our text line, my son eats dry ramen noodles with hot sauce. He's 12.
Yeah, Jordan used to do that for a long time, too. He puts hot sauce on absolutely everything and a pound of salt on everything. And on the one hand, I know it's terrible for him, but on the other hand, I'm like, you're young.
Enjoy it. There's nobody hanging over his shoulder telling him not to do it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the gross thing that your kid eats?
McDonald's chicken nuggets dipped in vanilla milkshake.
Oh, that's not no. You're wrong there. That is delicious. And you put the fries in the chocolate milkshake, and we got a party
going
on. Oh,
no, I can't do that.
Oh,
I can't
so
do that. I don't hate those that do the dip. I mean, I feel like you're braver than me in some ways, but in other ways, not so much.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that gross thing your kid eats?
My son is 2, and he will only eat chocolate chip muffin, the little bite,
yep,
and organic yogurt smoothie.
Oh, my gosh.
At least you get them to eat the yogurt. She gave up on those. I used to feel good about that,
I
but then she stopped.
I cannot get him to eat, not even chicken nuggets.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that gross thing your kid eats?
When I was a kid, I used to eat pepperoni and hummus.
Oh, my gosh.
When he was a kid. He's 11 now.
Jeez. That sounds like a couple things you would mix together for like a mortar in between bricks or something. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for the call. I don't know if that sounds disgusting or I'm intrigued. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the grossest thing your kid eats?
Lunchables. Have you seen them? Oh, they're disgusting. My kids love the pizza one, but it just looks so nasty. Any pizza that comes in a plastic package with fake sauce is disgusting.
I agree with you. My daughter, every time she walks by, like in the grocery store, the aisle that's got the Lunchables, she eyes it. But I tell her, like, I will let you try it, but she's so picky. I go, there's no way you're eating that marinara sauce that comes in that packet. Like, you're not going to be okay with that on site, like a fake Ritz cracker with some cheese and calling that a pizza.
You need like 3 of those things, and then you combine it to have like enough to have an edible meal.
Ugh.
I'll tell you, I seen the guys eating them in the other room, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Lunchables?
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
Are they
Producer
6?
John, he eats it. He looks like he's 8 years old when he does it.
Gosh. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the grossest thing your kid eats?
I guess it's not that gross because, like, a lot of kids eat them. But my daughter, she's, like, over a year, and she loves eating those mushy applesauce-like snacks that come in the pouches.
Mm-hmm.
She loves all the gross flavors, like prune and sweet potato and, like, this mixed vegetable one. Like, I can't assume they taste good if they smell as bad as they do. And she'd rather eat that than anything else I give her. I don't really know what to do.
My sister-in-law would taste every single one of those jars and those pouches before she gave it to my nieces and nephews. And I never knew how she did it because they were so nasty looking.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, is the expiration date good? All right, let's roll those dice.
I'm guessing you seem to like it. Most taste exactly the same.
Oh, you think?
I don't care what the color is. I feel like that's all made up.
Raven, they would be like broccoli, sweet potato, kale, blueberry. They
right.
would mix the most nonsense things together.
I feel like it's made up. It's just made up. They're like, what's the superfood of the day? Oh, that's what we're doing now. Yep.
So nasty. Applesauce mixed with mac and cheese.
That sounds disgusting.
Kids eat nasty things. That's one that just came in on our text line. 1-800-330-9999. I deal with this every day. My kids eat nasty things. What do your kids eat? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
He dips his food in his milk.
Oh, gosh.
Like a sandwich?
No, like he dips his steak in there.
What?
And then he eats it.
No, that's disgusting.
Kids love milk. They love milk.
Is this a prank call? Are you lying to us? That's gross.
Yeah.
No, he did it the other day. He dips his carrots in there and everything.
I don't think I could make somebody a steak if I was going to watch them dip it in milk. I think that they would have to have something else. Can we agree upon the things that get dipped in milk include donuts?
Cookies. And cookies.
And cookies.
Right.
That's really it.
Yeah. That's all.
Right?
That's it.
What am I missing?
Yeah, on the text line, we just got one. My 4-year-old, she likes to put her cherry tomatoes in her hot chocolate.
What?
Oh.
What?
Kids like milk too much. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the grossest thing your kid eats?
I blame the movie Elf because my daughter eats that crazy spaghetti dish that he makes. She talks about it all the time, and every once in a while, I'll, you know, let her have it. It's spaghetti, marshmallows, M&Ms, syrup and sprinkles. I tried it and it is awful.
Why would you try that?
It sounds disgusting. I mean,
he was like, let me just have a bite.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
There's no part of that. I mean, I see that you tried to cool dad it up there, but don't ever do that to yourself again. All right? You want to have some sort of gastric blowout?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm not a doctor here, but what you did was dangerous, sir.
And probably TikTok viral, so maybe.
Anna and Raven, what's the grossest thing your kids eat?
My son has this habit where he eats everything off the floor. He loves to do it at restaurants. I mean, he's only 4. I think he likes just the reaction of me screaming when he does it.
Right. So
and
gross.
Anna has to deal with this too right now. Her daughter, Dakota, likes to get on the floor. So no matter where they are, the grossest place that they can be, really, Dakota will put her face on the floor.
No, it's true. It's the reaction of when they're going to put something into their mouth that they know they should not put in their mouth. And they do it like in slow motion so that you can scream and gasp in horror. But then right before you're able to snatch that pretzel that's covered in goo that she picked up off the floor, just in time, she gets it right in her mouth before you can snatch it out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. And they give you a look, too. Like, he looks at me like, uh-oh, it's going to happen.
Yep. Right. You're beat.
So quick.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the grossest thing your kid eats?
Oh, well, for some really weird reason, my kids put water in their cereal instead of milk.
Ew.
And I know. It's super weird. The only thing I can think is that it comes from them seeing me make oatmeal all the time because, you know, you do that with water. Mm-hmm. But now they do that in their cereals and it's, you know, it's their Fruit Loops, Cheerios, Apple Jacks, all of it with water. It is so weird and so gross.
It's wacky and they are missing out.
That's
you need
true.
The sugar milk. Sugar milk at the ends. That's the gift that keeps giving. That's the cherry on top of the sundae.
So good.
I had a college roommate that used to put orange juice in her cereal. And that, I thought, was disgusting. But I don't know what's worse, orange juice or water.
At college, you never saw anybody do a little Wheaties with the beer?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Like they dip it in?
No. No milk. Beer.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jeremy and Jennifer. Jennifer, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hi. Okay, so, you know, we're actually divorced, and I put in an offer on a house that's in Jeremy's neighborhood. The offer was accepted. I'm really excited about it. I think it'll be great in terms of the transition and everything, and he's not happy about it. So that's why we're here.
Jeremy, you don't want your ex-wife to live on your street?
No, I don't think I feel too good about that, living on the same street. Mm-mm. We need to be divorced, like separated, divorced.
I'm assuming you guys have kids together, right? Is that what makes this
three.
Convenient? Okay, so.
That's exactly,
yeah, three kids.
That's
three beautiful
exactly
kids.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And I mean, that for me, that's why I think that it's such an ideal situation. Of course, we're going to be divorced. They're not going to live with you, Jeremy.
Yeah,
but I think it'll be easier for the kids.
Yeah, at the same time, I mean, you guys are adults. You have your own lives to consider, right? So as life is moving forward, you might not want that to be in each other's face or whatever. Jeremy, what's your biggest issue with it?
Well, pretty much what you just touched on is that, you know, we both love our kids so much and would love to spend as much time as we can with them. But in order for us to move on, it's going to be really hard to just be so present in each other's worlds. I want to see my kids all the time, but I don't necessarily want to see my ex-wife. You know, I'm not trying to be mean.
Sure.
It's just that's the nature of divorce.
I mean, that's fair. But also, there's something to be said about the fact that you don't really have a say over what she does anymore either. So if she likes the house on the street, then she's giving you at least the opportunity to bring it here to have that discussion.
But what's the resolution?
True.
Though?
All right, so we can see what our audience has to say because they may agree with you, Jeremy. Jennifer, it's not too late for you to back out of the deal, and that's what you're going to have to do, find a different home. But they may see Jennifer's side, too, that if she likes this house, it's great for the kids.
Exactly.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Jeremy and Jennifer are divorced, and Jennifer has found a house that she really likes on Jeremy's street. She think it'd be perfect because the kids, they'll be able to go back and forth. It'll be perfect for the family. Jeremy doesn't agree.
Well, I mean, they sound like they're pretty civil right now. And on most days, it's going to be pretty good. But the thing is, you can't plan for what's going to happen in the future. Maybe she starts dating somebody that he hates. Maybe he doesn't like the way they raise the kids. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe she feels the same way, doesn't like his next girlfriend or whatever it may be. While it's good today, it might not be good later. Is it better for the kids? Sure, agreed, if they can stay civil from now and forever.
Right. What do you think? Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on the woman's side. Jennifer, was it? I forget her name. I apologize. But I think I'm a divorced woman. I've had two children in that marriage. And the worst thing that can happen is to have your kids feel like they have to, I don't know, they just suffer enough with the divorce. If they want to be close and be able to walk to dad's house and mom's house, I mean, I wish that could have happened.
I mean, I know a couple that does it. They live right on the same street, and it does work out really good for their girls. The dog even goes house to house with them, with the kids.
I mean, it would make it feel good, and obviously when you have things that need to be spread, like duties that have to happen, the kids going to school, all that stuff, it makes everything easier. Somebody's sick, all that. But
if one parent isn't on board...
Right, if they just can't handle it and be an adult every single day, wow.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Jeremy and Jennifer are divorced, and Jennifer has found the perfect house on his street. She thinks it'll be great. They have three kids together, and how nice is it that mom and dad live on the same street together?
Yeah, Jeremy's got a lot of inhibitions about this. He thinks that, you know, while we're cool today and everything is fine, and he can see the reasons it would work, what happens in the future? There's no guarantees they're always going to be friendly.
Does Jennifer respect that and go find another house, or does she just buy the house anyway? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna on Raven Couples Court.
I'm on the wife's side. When you decide to have kids, you give up your life for the next 18 years. So I think it's totally ideal to have the kids be right down the road from both parents.
Listen, I mean, obviously, if you can get along and do that, then that is by far the best idea. Imagine the kids being able to run out their back door, go through the woods and go to the other house or whatever.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a great plan. But it's unrealistic to say you give up your life the next 18 years. Part of being a good parent is making sure that you're in a good place. And if you're not in a good place looking at your ex every day, that could be a problem.
I don't know. I think if you set boundaries, how often do you see the neighbors down the street? Not that often, you know?
I guess it depends, right?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
So I'm kind of in the middle on this because when me and my ex first got a divorce, we didn't want to see each other as well. But as, like, the months went on, we realized that we have to be friends for the kids. And he actually lives, like, a street over from me now. And it's an ideal situation for everyone, especially our kids.
See, I think that it's nice to be able to be like, oh, you want to run to dad's? Go see dad. Or, you know, I find something very nice about that.
It's very nice when you're civil. And on the days when you're not, it's not.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side, 100%. They're divorced. That's what he wants, correct? You know, he has no say in where she's going to be.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jennifer, our audience agreed with you. Jeremy, unfortunately, you don't have a say over what she does anymore. So I can't imagine that Jennifer is going to be breathing down your throat, but she will be living on your same street.
Well, we'll just see how that goes. I mean, I would never try to control her or have a say. But I think that when we share custody over our children, I have a say in terms of how we function as a family trying to be divorced with kids. It just seems like it's a little convoluted for her to be on the same street. But I have zero control. Absolutely correct.
Jennifer, I understand what it is you're trying to do and keep it close. I mean, you're used to this neighborhood. You're used to this community. Your children are used to that, too. And I think that that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I got to say that I'm not sure every day it's going to be easy. And I think that maybe we're kind of glossing past those details right now for the rosiest side of the picture. But there may be days that you very much feel like you should have moved down the road a little bit more. But I don't know. I wish you guys the best of luck, obviously. The important thing is your kids feel good about it. So
Hopefully
this is the end of your disagreements about it.
Around the corner would have been better.
It's going to be great.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@AnnaAndRaven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Oh, hi. It's Kirsten.
Kirsten, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Kirsten.
All right, Kirsten, we have $2,100 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. When that big door closes, Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in and ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Number one, Tara Reid reveals that a 5th American Pie film is coming. And she says this upcoming script is one of the best ones yet. What actress plays Stifler's mom?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Number two, The Weeknd donated $1 million to hunger relief efforts in Ethiopia. He was a Super Bowl halftime performer this year. Who won that game?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Number three, Lena Dunham has released her new plus-size clothing line. She created and starred in what HBO hit show?
Oh,
my God.
Do you know, Steve?
I,
I don't think Steve knows since he said, well, oh my gosh, time's up. Number four, Baylor beat Gonzaga last night to secure the NCAA Men's March Madness Championship. Who won for the women?
Stanford.
At number five, Pete Davidson revealed that he finally moved out of his mom's basement. His new movie, King of Staten Island, is on what streaming network?
Oh, Hulu?
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Raven! No.
How did I do?
Kirsten got 3 out of 5.
It's pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Okay. Number one, Tara Reid reveals that a fifth American Pie film is coming, and she says this upcoming script is one of the best ones yet.
Okay.
I'm here for that. I'm ready for it.
I mean, yeah, the first two were really good.
Yeah.
The other ones after that, not so good.
They're all good for a giggle. What actress plays Stifler's mom?
Oh. Her name is, gosh.
Final answer?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, I did know that. I just couldn't remember.
Number two, The Weeknd donated $1 million to hunger relief efforts in Ethiopia.
Hmm.
He was a Super Bowl halftime performer this year. Who won that game?
The Bucks, of course.
Yes. Number three, Lena Dunham has released her new plus-size clothing line. She created and starred in what HBO hit show?
Girls.
Yes. Number four, Baylor beat Gonzaga last night to secure the NCAA Men's March Madness Championship. Who won for the women?
Stanford.
Yes, you guys are tied.
Just beat Arizona. That was a great game.
Yep. Number five, Pete Davidson revealed that he finally moved out of his mom's basement.
I heard that.
His new movie, King of Staten Island, is on what streaming network?
Just going to take a it's on Netflix, right? It's
nope.
On Netflix.
It's on HBO Max.
Oh!
Kirsten, you guys tied at 3 today. Man, somebody could have beat them. That is for sure.
Well, enjoy that shirt, girl.
Yeah.
I guess I can't beat Steven.
Well, thanks for trying, Kirsten. Tell Steve that he did really great. All right. Hold on the line.
Another $100 in the pot, $2,200 tomorrow.
These questions, he's going down on them. We just need the right person to beat you, Raven. $2,200.